Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
I'm going to start this evening by going to John chapter 1. We're going to start going through the entire Gospel of John. I like to preach through a book. So we've gone through numerous books in the New Testament, most of what Paul wrote. And the Lord laid it on my heart when we were in Colossians to go back to John chapter 1 and start there. So that's where we're going to be this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we praise you for your grace and your blessing in our lives. And we ask you to speak to our heart, Lord, in these first five verses of John chapter 1. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we read John chapter 1, it starts out different than we consider most of the other books of the New Testament. When John speaks here, he says in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it." The first five verses, it's just an incredible start to this book. John, who wrote this book, doesn't even mention himself in the book. But he was the one that Jesus loved. Not more than, but interesting how God worked in John's life throughout his entire life. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. He was the only one of the apostles, the 12, original 12 apostles, that did not die from persecution. He was a marvelous man, and he passed away in his later life when, as the pastor in the church of Ephesus, and we see that in the New Testament, not that he was the pastor of Ephesus, but historically, that's what happened. He ended up being the pastor in the church at Ephesus. So we see how God has moved and worked in individual lives. I remember Peter said something in reference to John, and Jesus said to him, "Don't be concerned about what I do with John. Be concerned about what I do with you." We're all that same way. God has a plan. His plan is for us. His plan is for a long life, a short life. As Kelly says often, we're born with a birth certificate. It has a starting date. It does not have an ending date. We don't know what that is. God has given us a number of days to live. He's given us a ministry to perform. He's given us a life to glorify him. And he's given us the opportunity to be a testimony to himself. So Warren Wiersbe, he's speaking of the fact that in the Old Testament, God spoke to the people. "Then a marvelous thing happens," he says. "The glory of God came to his people again in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. It was given to John, the beloved disciple, to write a book for both Jews and Gentiles, presenting Jesus as the Son of God. There is one major theme that runs throughout John's gospel. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you commit yourself to him, he will give you eternal life." That's John's whole message in a nutshell in the Gospel of John. And he starts that right here in the very beginning of this book. So as we look at this evening, I want you to think about, I'm going to refer to a number of other verses, because it is God's word that speaks to our heart. But as is very normal in Scripture, we don't interpret Scripture just by one single verse. Scripture interprets Scripture. And we need to be a student of the Word. We need to be a student of the Word to understand exactly what God is saying through the Word and also through history. So we understand that He has an eternal perspective, and His desire is to teach us and train us. But we need to be like the Bereans, who search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are true. So when we look at this evening, we see, in the beginning was the Word. The word that's used here is logos in the original language, and it is the divine expression that is Christ. The word is an expression. We use words all the time, and we express ourselves through language, through words. God uses words also, entire Bible, hundreds of thousands of words. The expression, though, in this passage is important. In the beginning was the Word, the expression of God, to speak to us. And in His speaking to us, He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The expression of God given to us was God speaking to us. In John chapter 1:18, which is really just a page further down, John says, "No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son. The one who is at the Father's side, He has revealed Him." He has expressed God to us through Himself. He's expressed the character of God to us through Himself. And He has given us the opportunity to know God through who Jesus is, and understand Him. Understanding Jesus and what Jesus did and is doing in the world today is an understanding of God and His character and who He wants us to be as well. And that's what John is expressing to us throughout the book. We're only going to deal with the first five verses this evening, but when we see that He was, in verse 2, He was with God in the beginning, in the first estate, in power and in majesty, in the beginning. Genesis 1 tells us, and this is, it's incredible when you look at this, to see in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And evolution is not just a theory of how people came into being. Evolution is an anti-Christ, anti-God religion. It is designed to turn our thoughts and our direction and our understanding of what really happened away from God, to believe that somehow we just came about, somehow we just happened, somehow some pond slime out of the goo became something that ends up being us. It's absolutely not true, and it is a theory, but it's a theory without merit. It's impossible for us to understand this if we don't believe the Word of God as the Word, that this book is God's expression to us of the truth concerning who He is and what He did and how He did it. It's imperative for us to understand this, because even in Genesis chapter 2, I want to turn there because I think that it's so important for us to understand. Genesis chapter 1 is like an outline of what creation looks like. But when we get to chapter 2 and following, we begin to see how that outline actually fulfills itself. And we see here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God made man and woman. He didn't make multiple genders. He made men and women. And we see in the beginning, chapter 1, that God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. In chapter 2, He fills that up with how creation actually took place, the making of man and woman. But then in verse 7, He says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And the man became a living being." Why do the evolutionists throw millions of years and now even more time at the argument of evolution? Because there's one question they cannot answer. And that question is answered in chapter 2, verse 7. God breathed life into Adam, and he became a living being. Nothing in creation was alive, is alive, because of evolution. It's alive because God breathed life into his creation. God breathed life into his creation. And that's important when you look at what John says in chapter 1. He said, not one thing was created that has been created apart from God, apart from him. And he also says that life was in him. Jesus, in creation, had a part in the life that was breathed into Adam, the first human being. And that breathing of life into Adam was the same life that he's breathing into us as believers in Christ, because we have life, spiritual life, because of him. There's something important here. When Adam received life from God, he was perfect. He was perfect in his creation. He was formed from the dust of the ground, but he was in a complete and perfect relationship with God in his creation at that time. Chapter 3, everything changed. And at the same time that everything changed, God pronounced death on Adam and Eve because of their sin. What happened in that death? Did they die immediately physically? No, they did not. Did they die eventually? Yes, they did. But spiritually, they died when sin took place, when they chose to sin rather than to believe God. And it's only God who breathes that life back into us by his Spirit when we come to faith in Christ. We are spiritually dead. Romans tells us this. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And that's where you are because of your sin nature. Only Jesus can bless us and bring us back to a place of having a relationship with God, where now we are alive unto him because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith. So when we look at this and we recognize we have to connect all the dots here. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That life was the light of men. Scripture tells us that we're in darkness. Scripture tells us that the darkness cannot comprehend the light, but in an unsaved state, we walk in darkness. We are in darkness because we are broken and do not have a relationship with him. It's really important for us to look at this and kind of connect the dots, because Colossians 1:15 tells us that he is the image of the invisible God, speaking of Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, and everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And when you look at the big picture of Scripture and you see how Scripture is connected and never contradicts itself, he created us as a human race in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, he breathed life into us. We sinned, so we're dead in our trespasses and sins, but at the same time, he comes along and pays a penalty for our sin so that we can be alive unto him again, because his Holy Spirit comes in and quickens us, makes us alive unto him. Jesus has been involved in the whole process from creation on for the sole purpose of saving us and giving us life, for the sole purpose of bringing us into his family. Ephesians 1 tells us that we are adopted children of God, not children of Jesus, children of the Father, because we're co-heirs with Christ. We're not his children, we're his brothers and sisters in a relationship with him. So it's important for us to recognize exactly how this picture plays out. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness does not overcome it. It's important for us, and I said this already, but I'm going to say it again. It's important for us to recognize that life and light were in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I know that we've heard testimony tonight, and I think it's great to hear and understand how God is working. If we walk with Him, if we walk with Him daily, we will not find ourselves falling. We will not find ourselves back in darkness. He tells us that we need to be that man and that woman who follow me, and we will never walk in darkness again. He tells us in chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is in us. And as He is in us, we are the light of the world because He's resident in us. And in that residence in us, it is our responsibility to be part of the process of seeing people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. It's oftentimes a question mark in our mind. Why would God not just bring people to Himself apart from us? Because obviously we're messed up and we don't always do it right. But He has chosen to work through us to bring people to know Himself. He draws them by His Spirit. It's our job to share the word, to share the testimony, to speak the truth into people's lives, because He wants us to be engaged. He says in chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as the light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If you look at the people around you and recognize that there are so many people who don't know Christ, so many people who do not have the privilege that we have as believers to be engaged in a relationship with God, if we see them for who they really are, lost and walking in darkness, they don't have hope. They don't have any reason to continue apart from just the survival instinct of putting one foot in front of the other. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. And He tells us, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings, this has been his judge. But if they don't hear the word, if they don't hear the testimony, if they don't hear the gospel presented to them, then we're the ones who are failing. We're the ones who are not sharing the truth. We're the ones who are not making it possible for them to fully understand. The light shines in the darkness. We need to be that light shining in the darkness. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. And we have to walk in the light. We have to recognize our relationship with Him is a beacon of hope in a world that is lost. I heard yesterday on the radio that England and Europe are on a program right now to get rid of all paper identification concerning citizenship, concerning your DNA, concerning criminal records, everything. It's all going to be on a chip. And they're launching this program in 180 days. To put everybody in Europe and England on that program of identification only by the chip. Does that sound a little bit biblical? So when we think about Christ's return and we think about the opportunity that we have as believers in Christ to see those people we know, the people we know around us, the people that we know absolutely do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, it's coming. And they've talked about it for years. They've made lots of different dates that they're going to start this process, but now they say it's an absolute concrete date, 180 days from now, to enact this process in Europe and England. It just means that it's coming this way too. It's going to cover the entire world. So we have an understanding of a relationship with Christ. The light has come into this world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But all of us have that stamp of brokenness in our life. There's not a person here, I'm sure, that doesn't know how broken their life was before they knew Christ. My testimony is a testimony of how God's grace invaded my life, not because I knew I needed it, but because He knew I needed it. So in our brokenness, we have an escape. And that escape is 1 John 1:9. But as we go forward, he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the same writer, John the Apostle, "Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." And verse 9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have no reason, no excuse to walk in darkness. We have every opportunity to be forgiven. Every opportunity. I remember when I first became a believer. If I sinned often, I wouldn't run to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. I would deny it. I would hide it. I would try to overlook it. I would try to leave it behind, somehow not have to admit what I had done. And yet, he tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, what should we do? The moment that we break our fellowship with God, we should run to the throne of grace and confess our sin so that we're not in the darkness. That makes us sanctified and justified before him, but at the same time, it enables us to continue to speak the truth, continue to stand for the gospel of Christ, continue to tell people about Jesus, continue to express exactly what he tells us in this passage of Scripture through his word. Jesus, as the Word of God, was also the author of this book by his Spirit. And we need not to be ashamed. I think that what happens is we get intimidated by our own brokenness. And we think, well, they're not going to listen to me anyway, so why should I bother? Or they're not going to believe, so why should I bother? Because we don't know. We literally do not know who will and who will not believe. That's not our job. Our responsibility is to share the truth. Our responsibility is to make the gospel clearly presented. Every conversation, we talked about this in the book of Colossians, Paul says, "Pray for me that the door will be open for me to share the gospel." There's always an open door. There literally is always an open door to share the truth of the word, even if it's just a very short sentence, to share the truth of the word. There's always an opportunity. And yet, we live in a culture that doesn't recognize the opportunity. I had a friend tell me one time in church when I shared a testimony about seeing someone come to know Christ where I worked. It cost me my job, by the way, but he got saved. And his family, later I found out, was saved as well. And he said, "I wish God spoke to me that way." And my answer was simple. It's because you're not listening. If you're not listening to what God is saying, then the opportunity just flies by. It just goes past us. We don't catch it. We don't recognize it, or we think it's not a good time. It's not, the opportunity isn't really right. Maybe I can ask the guy to come to a cup of coffee with me, or any opportunity other than the one that we're actually in at the moment. But those moments happen when they happen. Oftentimes, they're never a rerun. There's never another opportunity to share the same thing you would have shared that day, that moment. We're on a mission. John was on a mission when he wrote this book, and he's on a mission to share with us the truth even now. That, and the whole Gospel of John is full of opportunity to recognize the truth about who Jesus Christ really is. We need to understand that Jesus didn't get born in Bethlehem 2,500 years ago. He was in creation from the very beginning, engaged in creation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We have to understand the relationship that we have with Him is eternal. He is eternal. And He has brought us into His family to be beside Him for the rest of eternity. For the rest of eternity. Ephesians tells us again, we are seated in the heavens already. I know that you say, well, hold it, I'm still here. But we already have a place in heaven that He has set aside for us. We are secure in our relationship with Him because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Share that truth. Share that truth of the gospel with people around us, because people are dying every day without Jesus. And we need to understand that we're part of the process. We're part of seeing them come to know the Lord. We don't save them. We plant the seed. God provides the increase. Father, we thank You this evening for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your blessing and Your mercy towards us. We praise You, Lord God, that You have saved us, that You have given us the opportunity to touch lives for Your glory. And we praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we reflect on John 1:1-5, we are reminded that Jesus is not merely a teacher or a prophet. He is the eternal Word, God Himself, through whom all things were made. He is the light that pierces the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome Him. This is the foundation of our hope in the heart of the gospel. The Creator entered His creation to bring life to the dead and light to the blind. No matter how dark this world becomes, we cling to Christ, the light of the world, who shines with unquenchable glory. Let us walk in that light, proclaim that light, and trust in the One who was in the beginning with God and is God. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.